This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community. Here's another Saturday Magazine podcast brought to you by Joy sponsor, Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
A unique mix of world news and queer culture. Saturday Magazine. Every Saturday, 10 till 12 on Joy 94.9.
Saturday Magazine, Joy 94.9. Political troglodytes and economic lunatics, no. Not Macca and Jane Garrett. Dominic Kelly is an author and he's written a book titled Political Troglodytes and Economic Lunatics. Welcome, Dominic.
Thanks for having me.
So who are the political troglodytes and the economic lunatics? We've all got an idea, but who do you...
Name them.
Who do you reckon they are or who do they represent?
There's three names in particular that stand out. Hugh Morgan, the former executive of Western Mining Corporation.
He's still around. God.
He's still alive. Semi-retired, I guess you'd call him. Ray Evans, who was his assistant for about 20 years at Western Mining. He died about 5 years ago. And John Stone, the former Treasury Secretary.
And National Party Senator.
That's right, yeah. So they were the key figures in four groups that I focused on in this book.
So one of those groups that a couple of them were members of was the H.R. Nicholls Society. I assume they're also aligned with the Institute of Public Affairs. And other phone boxes that meet.
Yeah, the IPA are sort of, they're in the background a lot in this book. So they're sort of a bedrock institution of the hard right. They weren't always a hard right organisation. I mean, they started in the 40s and were very much a sort of moderate right wing outfit, but in that they radicalised in the 70s and 80s and helped to provide the platform for these other groups to emerge.
So John Stone, you know, ex-Treasury Secretary, subsequently National Party Senator, I never had a lot of time for some of his views, but he definitely masquerades, I would say, as someone who's economically literate, but a lot of his arguments just don't hold water, do they?
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm not an economist and that's not what I was doing
here.
He said he was. He certainly was. I mean, he's a very well-credentialed man. You know, first-class honours in philosophy, politics and economics at Oxford. And to reach the top of the Treasury, that's a significant achievement. But he...
Perhaps he could become chair of the National Bank.
He probably thinks they're run by lefties or something.
Yes.
So, you know, he increasingly felt out of touch in Treasury because of his hardline economic views, and lasted about a year after Hawke was elected. He just couldn't put up with Keating anymore, I suppose.
Yeah.
And became even more radical after that.
And, you know, as a National Party senator, you know, he was spectacularly unsuccessful.
Yeah, he was the shadow finance minister, but because he's such a hardliner and an independent, he couldn't toe the party line, and he and John Howard had a very difficult relationship.
They did, didn't they?
And so, I mean, he stood down from the Senate to run for the lower house seat of Fairfax and lost in 1990, and that was the end of his short political career.
But the people stopped him. Yeah. As often happens.
So he went back to his role as a sort of public intellectual, if you like. He wrote for the Financial Review, the Australian, Quadrant, all sorts of publications, and as I say, increasingly radical as he's got older.
I think he still writes the occasional thing for The Spectator.
He does, and it's quite interesting to watch because under Turnbull he was almost tearing his hair out as they wouldn't get rid of him. They've now got rid of him, but he's Morrison is on notice that he needs to
go back to the base, which appears to be about one person these days, the mystical base of...
Yeah, so they do have a vision that if the Liberal Party and the Nationals would just...
do what they said,
it'd go with the hardline right-wing positions, then the Australian people will all fall into line and be happy.
Is there in your analysis of them in terms of their personalities or their sort of, you know, the psychoanalysis of them, do they share similar qualities? What's driven them, do you think?
Yeah, I mean, they each come from different backgrounds, those three. So, I mean, Hugh Morgan was born with a silver spoon in his mouth. He would very much deny that, but, you know, Geelong grammar boy, you know, son of a mining executive. He wasn't so much of the intellectual type like Stone and Evans. So Evans was sort of his teacher in a way, which is strange given that, you know, Morgan was the much more senior in terms of public life. So Evans was actually an electrical engineer, but a self-taught sort of political activist, and he is a real maverick. I mean, nothing will ever satisfy him. You keep pushing and pushing and pushing until you get the most extreme outcome. Stone, as I said, you know, comes from that very intellectual and economist background. So there, you know, I call him an intellectual enigma in the book because he, you know, for someone who's so comfortable, and comfortable in positions of power and part of the elite, he really doesn't mind stirring things up at all.
So, you know, I mean, often, you know, because I think it was it Hawke that called them political troglodytes and economic lunatics?
Yeah, thanks to Bob Hawke for that line.
You know, that, you know, I was always amused by John Stone because, you know, he always reminds me of you know, he could have been the newsreader in Network, you know, shouting out the window, but really no one, you know, we're as mad as hell, we're not going to take it anymore, but no one's listening. So where are they now in terms of influence? Because, you know, a listener here says we've got a new breed of hard right wingers, like our friends of yours, Tim Wilson and James Patterson. Do they accept multiculturalism at all? Mr. Morgan has coffee at a local cafe near this listener.
Fun fact.
I hope
you're listening, Morgan.
So, I mean, where do these views currently have influence? I mean, the history of their views is good, but where are they currently? Where is this madness? Where does it currently have influence?
Mostly in that small circle around Quadrant and The Spectator.
Okay.
The internet has really allowed them to reach new audiences. So these groups were very much elite run and attended by fellow elites. They weren't reaching out to the public. But there is now a core constituency of very hardline conservatives who all read the same blogs.
So
they all read The Australian.
I suppose they also get... I don't watch Sky News anymore because fortunately I cancelled my Foxtel.
Because
I was sick and tired of it.
You watch the footy.
Yeah. But do they get on, you know, things like Rowan Dean and other assorted rat bag shows?
Well, not... Stone and Morgan are... you know, semi-retired. So Stone still writes that occasional column in The Spectator, but he's not really a TV personality.
No.
Morgan was sort of pushed out of Western Mining back in the early 2000s and was told to just settle down a bit. He ran the business council for a couple of years and even they were a bit troubled by how hardline he was. So there is a new generation, though, of these hardline conservatives that do go on Sky After Dark, and then mostly they come up through the IPA, the Centre for Independent Studies.
And they've also, see, I think what's fascinating about that and this book's going to be great. We've had lots of people texting in saying they can't read to look forward to reading it, and that's great. So there's a good response here. But in terms of they have this kind of, it's seemingly a narrow presence in the broader community. They have been pretty smart in infiltrating the Liberal Party's processes. So they have having this disproportionate impact on the kind of people, because the pre-selection process in the Liberal Party is so, you know, it's just entirely members in the local area. These people have been working their membership. And if you look at the latest round of people who actually got in the Victorian election, and there wasn't that many because of the re-election result, they are, a lot of them, well, there's not many, hardline, very conservative IPA types. So they're busy on Spectator, but they're also busy infiltrating
in the branches.
In the branches. And it's they are having a disproportionate influence in the current Liberal Party. Would you agree with that?
I would. I mean, it's really fascinating to me to watch what's happening in the Victorian Liberal Party, because it seems that they're repeating the errors of the New South Wales Liberal Party throughout the 90s and 2000s that were, you know, out of office for a long time when they had every chance to win government when, you know, the Labor Party began to fall apart. You know, they were called the uglies, like these extreme hardliners who were running the party, and the public wasn't responding in any way. And the Victorian Liberal Party seems to want to
just do it all again.
And then there's the religious element now within the Victorian Liberal Party.
And recruiting the Mormons and all of that as well, religious element. So it's full on.
It might be, I think your colleagues might enjoy it because it's certainly not doing them any favours in the electorate. No,
it is a shock, because you think, what is the way, you know, insanity is repeating the same thing over and over again, I suppose. It's that the electorate's actually spoken and
there's another way of putting it, Jane.
Yes, please.
A dog always returns to its vomit.
Aren't you glad you came on this morning? I mean, highbrow discussion with Jane and Macca.
So, Dominic, you've written the book. What's the response been? You know, has anyone trolled you yet? Have you been trolled?
No. Why not? I mean, it's only been out a few days. So,
give
people time to respond.
Some of those people you mentioned, probably the internet's a bit too recent for them.
Well, they've been pretty good at adapting to the online age.
They have. Look, I've ordered a copy, so I don't.
Thank you.
I love books, hard books, not electronic. Yes. I'm not an electronic book. Although someone listening might think, oh my God, he's bought another book.
Be good for the CEO job, mate. You can learn how to, you know, be autocratic and cut the budgets.
That's right. So thank you, Dominic. As I said, Dominic Kelly's the author, Political Troglodytes and Economic Lunatics. If you want to know about political troglodytes and economic lunatics, watch Sky After Dark or read this book. Thank you, Dominic.
Thanks, Dominic.
I fully endorse that comment.
Cheers. You are on Saturday Magazine, Joy 94.9. Sky After Dark, no. Saturday Magazine during the day, yes.
Hi, this is John Borghetti, the CEO of Virgin Australia. Just like Joy 94.9, we are flying high and proud.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.